Coming up on Patriots This Week. Halfway through the season, the Patriots' record is perfect. But the win over Washington was anything but.
A good win for our team today. We obviously had to grind it out.
And they did that on the ground, unleashing blunt force trauma on the Redskins. Tom Brady liked what he saw.
You know, the more balanced we are, you know, the better it is for the quarterback.
Now it's on to a nemesis. Every New England fan knows the New York Giants have haunted the Patriots.
I mean, they've always played us pretty tough. We're expecting their best.
Bill Belichick knows all about the Giants, but also knows the formula for winning.
It's always good to run the ball. It's always good to throw the ball. It's always good to score a point.
Now it's time for Patriots This Week.
Week 9, Game 8, another win for the Patriots, but it was victory at a cost. Now as New England gets ready to face an old nemesis in the New York football Giants. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy with my radio partner and former Pats quarterback Scott Zolak and a three-time Super Bowl champion, it Matt Chatham. And guys, speaking of the 27-10 victory over the Redskins on Sunday, not as close as the final score might indicate. Patriots dominating out to a 17-0 lead, but in the process, they lose Sebastian Vollmer, their left tackle, and eventually lost Deion Lewis as a turns out for this season, and they began that game without Jamie Collins on defense.
I mean, you still have LeGarrette Blount, you still have Brandon Bolden, and you look at Deion Lewis and that injury, that's a tough one because, I mean, they're starting to use him as a weapon. You know, you look at Gronkowski as being the one that really affects coverage. Matt, you've seen tight ends, you know, throughout the course of the league not really have the ability to do that. Gronk does that. You got Edelman as your playmaker. And I think Deion Lewis was really your number three go-to guy. He wasn't your normal check down, third down type back. Bob, earlier in that game, he had a heck of a block on that Mike Backer with a head snap back. So not only was he making great plays on the perimeter, he was starting to really pick up what it takes to be a good third down guy on the inside as far as blitz protection.
I totally agree. I just think one of the things as fans that you're going to want to consider here is there shouldn't be panic in my view in that they won't try to replicate what they did with Deion because right. There's no other Deion. But that doesn't mean that the playbook isn't awfully deep and this is not a threadbare offense. This is not a place where they're using Deion because they don't have another option. I mean, they have guys like Scott Chandler that have barely been tapped into. Danny Amendola, which is used intermittently. One week he is, one week he isn't. Even James White, who, again, I'm not arguing that he would be the same player, but he's really good in the screen game. He's not going to be as good in the gun runs.
You guys know this fully well. Injuries are part of life in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Nobody handles them better than the Patriots. But what about the personal element to this? Because this is a guy who is such an engaging story for the media, the fans, and I imagine his teammates too.
I go back to August when you and I are calling the games, and we're doing preseason games where you kind of get a sprinkling of certain guys in the mix. And number 33 would do something to say, you know what? He's pretty good. And he kind of played his way into that. At the beginning of August, nobody was talking about Deion Lewis. So, I mean, this was a great find by this team.
I think when we're in training camp, you're not thinking, what would this team be like with Deion Lewis? You didn't even know he was on the team. So they found gold. You were able to find this exceptional player for a short run.
We'll circle back to the offense and the line in particular, but the defense, too. This team out to a 17-0 lead midway through the second quarter. Patriots had more first downs than Washington had total yards. And, again, they were doing it without Jamie Collins on defense.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing. You know, he gets a late illness in the week and kind of shows up on that injury report. It's that point of the year where people are starting to get sick, so you worry about that spread throughout the course of the team. But Jamie's such a vital player. And, you know, Hightower said he was pushing through something, a little bit of a virus. So he got some breathers later in that game. You need both those guys. If this defense ultimately is going to be the defense that carries you to Santa Clara, you need those two guys healthy along with Chandler Jones, who's really starting to come on now.
It's funny that Zoe mentioned sort of the idea of it sort of passing around, and this is something that we would always joke about in the linebacker
room. I got my flu shot.
You know, get your flu shot, and then we'd go into that linebacker room, and Roman Pfeiffer was always a funny one. He'd have towels over his head. If you had a sniffles, you don't want to catch
Stay
it, right? You
right.
sit in a little linebacker room, and as you mentioned, it kind of passes around the room, and guys don't want it. You know, they're drinking hot tea, hot towels around their head, all that kind of thing. I think what helped sort of aid sort of the absence of him was how much push and pressure they got up front. And I'm not talking about defensive ends. Obviously, those guys are playing great and have continued to play great. Alan Branch, who I've mentioned in past weeks, continues to sort of move the guards into the backfield, creating backs or forcing backs to Bo, which allows these linebackers to clean up. He's really been a find for this defense.
So Kirk Cousins didn't get any help from the offensive coordinator in that instance, nor from his receivers for much of the game, including his very first play from scrimmage when his pass goes through the hands of Pierre Garçon off his shoulder pad and is picked off by Logan Ryan. Ryan's been under the radar because so much of the focus on the secondary has been on Malcolm Butler, but here's a guy now with 11 career picks in three seasons and four this year.
Ryan is not going against slugs. Logan Ryan is in and up against good players each and every week. The second receivers in team's offense, well, think of here. Julian Edelman's a great player, but somebody's got to cover Brandon LaFell. He's good, too. The second corner in a defense has got to be a good player or you get gashed. He's been a really under-the-radar nice contributor.
Now, I thought they willed DeSean Jackson to shut it down a little bit. Malcolm Butler had good coverage on him, and he thought, you know, boy, there's going to be a big play capability from them with help over the top, and I just thought he was a non-factor.
They weren't ready. You know, you see that moment early in the game, and then
the team's coming off a bye. That's pretty sad by them. You know, you got two weeks. This is a big spot for you. It's New England. Nobody expects you to win. Yeah, you go out there and try and play the game of your life, and they just fell flat on their face.
It takes really, really sharp play to win in this building, and that wasn't it.
Meanwhile, on the flip side, Patriots offensive line has to deal with the return of Jason Pierre-Paul. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that offensive line, they finished with five healthy bodies and some bodies playing out of position. Cameron Fleming recently signed off the practice squad, his first ever appearance at left tackle at any level. Brian Stork in his first game back off injury, a center, let's face it, by trade, and he's playing right tackle.
I think it really condensed everything that you did in the second half. It didn't look like the Patriots offense, and I don't blame him. You look over there, and you get another lineman that goes down. All of a sudden, you're bringing in number 85, and he's going to have to declare ineligible every play because then he would be a tackle, and that's Michael Williams. They basically had, I think, one protection in the second half.
So one of the things that I've sort of noticed as a player being on a punt team, which is kind of like an offensive line, but not much. When we had to have replacements in there, we had to have guys that we were a little uncertain of. The last thing you want them doing is going backwards for three long steps and having to sort something out. When those offensive linemen are all over the place, the easiest thing in the world to do is to go forward, not back. So the more run blocking they're doing or quick passing where you don't have them kick stepping and potentially having errors, that's much better. That's as Zoe said, when we hit that second half, it was like, oh, this is what we're working with. There's going to be a lot less of drought going that way, much more of that.
There's a lot of guys that play on teams and say, hey, I'm a center or I'm a guard. I'm not going to play tackle. Right. Or I'm a tackle and I don't want to move inside. The fact you take a guy like Brian Stork and the thought process here, let's ease him, let's get him some snaps in the game. He had the goal line center snap. All of a sudden he's kicked the right tackle, and I thought he grinded. I thought he did a heck of a job out there.
Matt, considering your experience on special teams and your appreciation for that phase, what did you think of the onsides kickoff after the Patriots' first score?
I loved it. Here's the thing. So I had heard some conversations on social media pressing me as to why you would waste it on Washington would be the thing. Like, you've got this surprise play. Why use it on an opponent like that where you may not need it? I understand that sort of train of thought, but I think the Patriots think more this way. They simply look at what your vulnerability is. If you've got guys on that front line, they saw something, you do it, right? It's not that you can't now use it again, but understand what teams are facing. They come into this building, they watch tape on Gostkowski, you got to watch your cut-ups of kick return. You know what they are? It's a bunch of touchbacks. So what happens is there's guys on the front line, they start to bail. They don't think it's a live play. You know, they start getting out there in a hurry, and they say, you know what, these guys leave way too early. Let's just drop one down and get them quick and just go ahead and take advantage of the vulnerability.
So the Patriots stay unbeaten in week 9 of the NFL season. Can't say the same about another AFC contender. Back with more right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week, the Putnam Player Spotlight is on Brandon Bolden. Despite a solid career at Mississippi, Bolden signed as a free agent in 2012. The fourth-year running back has been a stellar special teams player, exemplified when the Colts tried to pull a fake punt against the Pats. The 25-year-old also personified the team's next-man-up mentality when he caught an 18-yard touchdown pass in the win over Washington. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios on Patriots This Week. Guys, the Pats did stay unbeaten. The Cincinnati Bengals did so as well. Likewise, the Carolina Panthers. But the Denver Broncos fell at Indianapolis. The Colts led by Andrew Luck with the victory, but now he's gone for the next 2 to 6 weeks.
You know, tough stretch for the Colts there. I mean, you know, obviously you played New England several weeks ago. Then you had Carolina, and you came back in that game. Then you had another undefeated team you faced the following week. I was pretty surprised that Denver really wasn't ready to play at the beginning of this football game. That falls on their head coach, I think.
I think one of the issues that Indy had in their favor, because they changed coordinators, is goofy, but obviously Denver defense is flying high. You have sort of that uncertainty element in your favor. What route combinations are they going to run? They've been getting beat with other stuff. Or are they going to rely heavily on scheme run games? They did, and I think that helped them.
Meanwhile, Carolina, as mentioned, stayed unbeaten in the NFC. Green Bay sustained a second loss, and therefore the Minnesota Vikings are in first place along with the Packers in the NFC North. The Vikings wound up winning over St. Louis. However, Mike Zimmer, none too pleased about a hit on his quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, really the conduct of the Rams in general. He went after Jeff Fisher, his counterpart.
There were several instances in this game where it got a little chippy, and that's kind of, you know, from what guys like Rodney Harrison say, hey, that's a Jeff Fisher-type coach team. Let's not forget Greg Williams, a one-time defensive coordinator, so you kind of got that little bit of an edge. If I'm a defensive guy, I want guys that will play a little bit of an edge that's going to intimidate. But the second a quarterback in today's NFL 2015 initiates a slide with his feet, you cannot touch him. You can't hit him. I don't care how the hit was. Knocked a guy out of the game, and he's going to pay for it.
He did actually plant with the left foot, turn his body back to him, head to him, and contacts him with the back of his arm, which to me isn't targeting. I think it's a really difficult situation where I think we see now it officiated as a result. He's knocked out, you know, and you did collide him. But I think there's actually a lot of times where you see flags not go down, where the quarterback makes a decision to go down. It's so tough in open space. You're running 100 miles an hour at each other. You can freeze frame and say, hey, they're 4 yards apart. Well, 4 yards at full speed is a fraction of a second, yeah. A nanosecond.
I mean, so you look at Luck and how he got hurt. I mean, it's kind of one of those plays where he gets hit from one side. It was a vicious hit. Now, it's a clean vicious hit. When I say vicious hit, it's a clean, good football hit. And then he gets clocked from the other side, and there goes the kidney.
It is your job to hit him and touch him down. You just can't hit the head. The problem is when a guy slides and you're this far off the ground, there's the only part that is off the ground is waist to head, and the waist to head is right there. There's not much else but that to hit. I think that's something people often don't realize.
A guy that we know from his couple of years plus with the Patriots, Aqib Talib, with a finger poke. In the eye of Dwayne Allen of the Colts, draws a one-game suspension.
Funny thing is, he said, I want to poke his helmet. Anyway, I've never seen a defensive guy or offensive guy go poke and actually poke a helmet. It was intended. He went right in the face mask.
He said his finger slipped.
I'm sorry. I love the guy. He can play for me any day. I know he's got an edge to him, but he walks the walk. He'll get up in your face. He'll D up. I think Aqib's a heck of a player. I think he's just fun to be around. That was a dirty play, though.
Meanwhile, this Sunday, the Patriots travel to the Meadowlands to meet the New York Giants, who've won the last three in this series. Pats try to stop that streak, but looking to stay unbeaten. More with Patriots This Week after this.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. New York Giants, and what am I going to talk about? Their receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. Let's go to the tape. Here are the Patriots. This is the Patriots offense, really, right here. Spread offense. This is what Brady does all the time. They like to use motion. But here's Beckham at the top of your screen right here. This is a little stick route, little slant. Should be stopped right there for a little six-yard gain against the Saints. You wonder why the Saints are a bad defensive football team. But nice job by these receivers blocking downfield. It's almost the same look. Little motion coming this way. Here you go. Watch this at the top of your screen. This isn't a slant. This is one of those skinny posts. Takes it a little bit wider, but watch this. The ability to scoot. I've got to think Devin McCourty has got to give Malcolm Butler a little better help over the top. Now, moving on. San Francisco 49ers. Why are they having a tough year? Watch this one here. A little shell coverage. Beckham Jr. goes in motion to the top of your screen. Here you go. Roll the tape. Now watch this. Little return route inside. This outside defender. Great positioning, right? Should nail him right there at the 15. No, he slips it right there. So I'm not worried about the Patriots' tackling ability because it's been pretty good this year. But I am worried about number 13. Do not let him get behind you. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues, and the Pats season continues at the New York Giants. Guys, the Giants, as we know, have the history of success against the Pats. They've won the last three, including the two Super Bowl wins. Are these the same kind of Giants who beat the Pats previously?
I think every team changes year to year. You even look at the New England team, but I think the one commonality and the one thing you can look at good head coach in Tom Coughlin, whether you like the guy as a drill sergeant or not, he's consistent. And they got Eli Manning. They have the coach-quarterback combination. You can't say that about a lot of teams across the National Football League like you can at this place. So I think it's going to be a really interesting battle. They've changed a little bit on offense. They're more of a West Coast base type team where they kind of layer some things. And I think Eli's just starting to come around on that. But he really mismanaged some games, which was unusual for him, you know, with the type of experience he had earlier in the year. This should be a 7-2 team.
The thing that's changed the most from sort of Giants of years past is I think they've really flipped the script. Yes, they had the consistency with head coach and quarterback, but this is no longer a defensive-led team. This is an explosive offense. It used to be the other way around, explosive defense, offense to grind it out and get the big throw to Plaxico or whatever it would be. So I think they approach you a little bit differently, and you have to approach them differently as well.
How well prepared is this team for Sunday's game?
I think this is a unique situation in that we, and Zoe and I think we had alluded to this team a few weeks ago as they might be the sort of that team on the horizon. Because their tight end has been down and Larry Donnell had been a big part of the package, I think he would a guy that, you know, especially in the red zone, would require a lot of attention. With a little less of a threat at tight end, they do still have the Odell Beckham Jr. and they still have Reuben Randall, and Vereen has become sort of a thing out of the backfield that is a threat. But because you're missing that fourth element, I think you're not spread quite as thin. This is one of those teams that could have, you know, threatened that fourth coverage player. I think a little less so now than maybe before the injury.
And I think, you know, the Patriots are really starting to play a bunch of safeties. You know, from the Eli perspective, how much is he really going to have to, you know, study film and change the mic? And you bring Patrick Chung in, is he a mic all of a sudden? And they've walked Chung out on receivers.
They do have Jason Pierre-Paul back, and he had an influence, 45 snaps in the Tampa Bay game upon his return.
I was shocked to see how many snaps he played. And I think sometimes this goes this way, where you go into games and you think, okay, we're going to get 10 to 20 snaps for a guy, and the situations in the game dictate that, you know, we need to change that. And you know what? He looks pretty good, so let's keep him out there. He's going to be a lot to handle, regardless of which tackle's in the game.
The important thing, and the thing was curious in my head, is how they're going to handle it. Obviously, he's wearing a mitt now, so he can't grab with that hand. He's sort of taped down on some sides, and we know he lost the fingers. But it's on the hand that's the outside hand. So the reason that matters is you got your grabber stuff in here. So a lot of guys punch, will club, and do other things with that outside hand. If he'd have been left in, it had been more of an issue. So can a guy play with this thing? I think for where he sits and the side that you need to be able to grab with, he still has it. He'll counter that way. It might be interesting to see if for some reason the Patriots run an outside zone run or something where he might have to grab and pull someone down. That's when it'll come into effect. I think pass rushing, based on the side he's working, you shouldn't see much difference in the player he was before.
So how do the Patriots go into this game adjusting with their offensive line against the Giants' D?
I think you got to run the ball a little bit in this game, too. And I think you look at, you know, LeGarrette Blount last week, 29 carries, 129 yards. He wears number 29. I like all that stuff. Not to say they're going to do that again, but you chip him with Michael Williams, you take Gronkowski, and, you know, Matt brought up Scott Chandler earlier in the show. They're just starting to sprinkle him. Maybe they got a lot of two tight end sets in this game.
Yeah, I think this is one of those weeks where we might see more of, I like what you mentioned there, Mike Williams and Gronk together. We haven't seen much where they just wash an edge, and I think more Blount. And that's the thing about this Giants defense. It's really been a struggle for them. The Giants have had vulnerabilities both in run and pass. I think you really sort of have a flip of a coin what fits you best.
And they lost their best run stuffer, Hankins. He's gone for the rest of the year. When we come back, Zoe and Matt will tell us about their game changer and predict the outcome on Sunday in the Meadowlands.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
This is the week to make sure LeGarrette Blount is in your starting lineup when the Pats head to the Meadowlands. With Deion Lewis out, Blount will see more touches, and he will like seeing a Giants defense that just lost one of its best run defenders in Jonathan Hankins. But sit DeAndre Hopkins. Houston has quarterback issues, and the Bengals' secondary will be tough at home on Monday night. It may be time to give Willie Snead a start. Drew Brees has gained confidence in the Saints' rookie wideout, and Snead could break out against the Redskins in Washington. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Guys, will the Patriots prevail and stay unbeaten against the Giants Sunday, and how will they do it if so?
Tough road game, Bob. You know, playing the New York Giants down there in New York, you really don't know how many linemen you're going to have. It's going to be a tight one. I got them 20 to 16. Only a 4-point win, but my game changer is going to be Devin McCourty. His ability to police things back there, he's going to get a deflected pick, and that's going to be the game-saving pick that he gets.
I'm going to go 31-20 Patriots. I think this is a game where they shouldn't have trouble scoring points. The issue is the Giants can come back quite a bit. Malcolm Butler is actually going to be my player of the game. I think Malcolm Butler's matchup against Odell Beckham Jr. and his ability to challenge players and be tight on them, even in the event that they're completions, he'll tackle them. You won't see the run after the catch that Zoe mentioned in the Zoe show.
Two East Division leaders, two of the NFL's iconic franchises. Looking forward to it. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.